Let's turn together to Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. So Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. And then if you want to use one of the Bibles in front of you to follow along, you can go to page 869, page 869 in one of the blue Bibles in front of you. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 38 through 42 this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It's a short section, short little story, but a lot for you and I to take in and learn together here. So let's read this together. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." I'd like to start out this morning by just giving you a scale to rate yourself on. And don't rate yourself how you think you're supposed to rate yourself when you're sitting in a church service. Like, give yourself a genuine, honest rating here. Scale 1 to 10. 1 being very distracted. When I say distracted, I don't just mean like in this moment right now. I'm just thinking like your life in general. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being distracted, meaning you're busy, you often feel stressed or worried, you're multitasking, you're doing stuff on your phone constantly to try to respond to email or text messages or phone calls or whatever kind of deal for work or school. You never feel at rest. You never feel like you have completed anything that you need to really get done. And it's just constantly next thing, next thing, next thing. So that's 1. 10 would be not distracted, but devoted. And by devoted, I mean there's a sense in you of just calmness, at peace. You have time each day to pray, to hear from God through his word. There's other things going on in your life. It's not like you live in the woods by yourself, but you also are spending time with the Lord and your focus is on Jesus and on following him. So 1 being distracted, as I described it, 10 being devoted, as I described it. Think about your days, your mornings, your evenings, just the general temperature and pace of your life. And kids and students, I want you to think about this with us too, because you have things you're doing, things you're involved in, things that you have to be about each day. So how would you honestly rate yourself? You can write down a number on the bulletin if you want to, or just hold one in your head. 1 to 10. How would you rate yourself? The next meal that we come to in this Meals with Jesus series that we've been working through, it puts these two pictures in front of us: distraction and devotion. And some of you are going to be familiar with the story. You've read it before, you've studied it before, you've taught it before, maybe. But whether you are familiar or are not familiar with this story, it's important to notice how Jesus interacts with both of those concepts, distraction and devotion. And what's going to be helpful for you and I is to see here that Jesus does not speak to these in abstract ways, separate from real life. He actually speaks to how it shows up in two real people, two sisters, Martha and Mary. Because this is not just a one-off story here. This is part of a bigger section of the Gospel of Luke, and it's surrounded by some really popular sections of the gospel. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But it's kind of hidden. It's kind of tucked in. And Luke here in this whole section is teaching us about discipleship. And when I say the word discipleship, I just mean the why and how of following Jesus in normal life, day-to-day life. And this whole section is about that. And as you and I step into this room at Martha and Mary's house, into this dinner that they're preparing for Jesus as he comes into their home, you and I are given both a warning and an encouragement. Both a warning and encouragement. And so we want to take both of those, consider it together, look at our own hearts and our own lives in light of it, and then learn what it looks like to pursue devotion to Jesus, even when we're surrounded and filled with distractions. And I promise you it's possible. I promise you it's possible. So I want to carry those two key words with us throughout the story, distraction and devotion, but we're going to look at them one at a time. So let's look at the first one, and that's going to be distraction. Distraction. We've jumped ahead the past 2 weeks for the sake of the events of Holy Week and Easter, but now we're jumping back to Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, it takes us into the middle of Jesus's earthly ministry. And in Luke's gospel, this short scene, I just hinted this a minute ago, it falls between two of the most famous passages in the Bible that even if you haven't been to church a lot or you haven't read the Bible a lot, you've likely heard of these other passages that surround it. Because on one side of this story of Martha and Mary and Jesus is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And on the other side is what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. So it's surrounded by these two things, but the emphasis here is how our relationship with Jesus should impact our relationships in general. Parable of Good Samaritan hits that from one angle, the Lord's Prayer hits that from a different angle, and then right here in the middle, you have this story of Martha and Mary and what's going on and how all these relationships with the Lord, with people, with the busyness of life, how it all comes together and why they're important and what they should look like. And it all sets us up to kind of slowly walk through this small little scene. And let's do that by jumping back into verse 38. Here's what we read in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Luke tells us Jesus enters a village. He doesn't tell us which one, doesn't tell us what the name of it was. And we can sit here and think like, "What, man, I wonder what the name of that village was." And you can look at other gospels and try to put some details together. But this is just a small little somewhat aside thing of how we learn to read the Bible together, that sometimes we're looking for details the Bible doesn't give us. And the Bible doesn't give us the details because they're not the main point of the story. So we want to look at what the Bible includes and doesn't include, because what it includes and doesn't include shows us what the main point is and is not. And that's true here. The name of the town is not the most important part of the story. But another detail here that does begin to lead us to the important part is where he says a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. So we meet Martha, and all we know for right now is she invites Jesus to a meal at her home. But then we get another detail, verse 39. And she, Martha had a sister called Mary. So we're getting more details. Martha, Mary, two sisters hosting Jesus in their house for a meal. But then we immediately begin to see how they're different. Next part of verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So they both have welcomed Jesus into their homes, but now they're both in two different locations. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, and then Luke tells us Martha is distracted with much serving. The physical difference between their location is going to show us in this moment a spiritual difference between what's going on. The two different things they're physically doing are going to show us two different things going on in their hearts, two different states of their souls at this time. Even in the way Luke tells us these details, he starts to kind of reveal the issue for us of the main point of what he wants us to see. He doesn't just say Martha was busy serving. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was really busy. He says specifically, Martha was distracted with much serving. Some important little word to notice. She was distracted with much serving. And you might immediately read that and think, well, of course, if you're hosting Jesus at your house, I'm sure you want it to be the best meal you've ever made in your entire life. I mean, you think you want the house clean when some family come over. Imagine how you would feel if Jesus is coming to your house. It's like, this place has to be cleaner than it's ever been. But he says Martha was distracted with much serving. And to think we in our life classes right now, in our small group Bible studies that meet before this, this hour, this worship service, have been studying hospitality. And it seems like Martha is showing the very kind of hospitality we've been talking about. So what's the problem? Isn't she doing the right thing? Isn't she doing what she's supposed to be doing? Well, Luke tells us Martha's distracted, meaning her attention is divided. Her heart is kind of pulled apart. She's separated in many directions here. The problem is not that she's serving. That's not the problem. The problem that she's is that she is distracted. Serving is a good thing. Many of you have served in really huge ways this morning. Many of you serve in all kinds of different ways in your family or at work, at your school. There's something about following Jesus that should lead us to serve others and do things to give ourselves to help other people and contribute in certain situations. So it seems like Martha is doing that, but that's not the problem. The problem we see in Martha's heart is also a problem that shows up in our heart. And it's the problem when something that's secondary becomes primary. When something that's secondary becomes primary, when we're distracted from the main thing by a good thing, that's a really tricky thing. I know we're getting to the time of the year where, for those of you that are in school, and you're gonna love it that I'm reminding you of this, but there's a lot of tests coming up. There's finals. Yes, so excited about tests. I love that, Harper. There's state testing, there's finals, there's things to turn in, but let's just imagine that you're sitting down in class to take a test, and your teacher has handed out these fresh number two pencils for everyone to take a test, if you even still use a number two pencil to take a test. I'm not sure. I might be a little behind the times on that one. But let's say you do, and you realize, man, my pencil is not sharp enough to do the work I need to do on this test. I'm also very much dating myself when I'm about to say this. You go over to the pencil sharpener, and you start to sharpen the pencil, or if it's electric, you just shove it in the thing, and you bring it back out. No, it's a little too thin, not good enough. Put it back in there. Oh, it kind of chopped the whole point off. Put it back in there. Now, all the while, the test has started, and time is ticking. You only have so much time to complete this test. And you begin to wonder, well, I wonder if other people in class, if their pencils are sharp enough. So you start to, hey, you need me to sharpen your pencil for you? Oh, sure, yeah, that'd be awesome. So you go over, sharpen the pencil. Ah, no, it's still not up to my standard, so go back in. You have like this much of a pencil left by the time you get done with it. Bring it back over, and you start to do the other, and by the time you sharpen the whole class's pencils, the test time is done. You haven't even started. You missed the opportunity to take the test. Is it really good on a test to have a writing utensil that works? Yes. Is it good to help your classmates and be able to serve them and sharpen their pencils for them? Sure, that's a good thing. But what's the point of having the pencil? The point of having the pencil is to take the test. And you miss the whole test because you were so focused on getting the pencil figured out. Martha was distracted by a good thing, but she was distracted from the point of the good thing. That's Jesus. I think it's important for us to notice Martha wasn't distracted because she wanted to live a life that had nothing to do with Jesus. She wasn't like out running around town trying to do crazy stuff. And she wasn't distracted by money or greed or whatever bad thing you fill in the blank with there. She was distracted from Jesus by serving Jesus. While prepping and cooking and whatever she was doing for Jesus, she lost sight of the main reason it was all happening to begin with. Jesus himself was in her house. A pastor by the name of H.B. Charles, I love the way he said this. He says, Martha allowed the work of the Lord to become more important than the Lord of the work. And we are all vulnerable to that. Yes, we're vulnerable to distractions in terms of things that don't honor Jesus. Those are very common in the world we live in our own hearts and our own temptations. But we have to recognize we're also vulnerable to distractions by things that do honor Jesus. That might sound strange to your ear, but think about it with me. Martha's distraction moved her from serving Jesus to serving, to serving a task, to serving the service itself, and even moved her from serving Jesus to ultimately serving herself and what she was doing in that moment. We have to ask ourselves, how often does serving the Lord turn into serving ourselves? How often does serving other people turn into serving ourselves? You and I can get distracted from serving Jesus to serving the event we've worked really hard to plan. We can get distracted from serving Jesus to serving the class we lead and making sure everything is perfect. We can get distracted from serving Jesus to serving the ministry that we are involved in, because we can begin to use it to validate ourselves, to prove ourselves, to feel better about ourselves. So then there comes a point where we're no longer serving Jesus. We're serving the ministry or the task or the role or the opportunity that's meant to serve him, but it's become about us. But how do we know? How do we know when we've made that change? How do we know when we're distracted? How do we know when that happens? Well, I think you can see evidence in Martha's reaction, and it's gonna be really easy for us to kind of chuckle at Martha, but let's be ready to see ourselves too. And I'm saying this about myself as well. Verse 40, Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Now we have to imagine the buildup to this point. I don't think it was just this quick little thing that she just immediately got mad. There's buildup. You've experienced this. You've seen this. You felt it. I'm sure Martha was, wherever she was in the house, prepping everything, doing work, and she keeps looking out, and man, Mary's still just sitting there? And I have all this in here to do? And she's beginning to kind of say these things to herself and rehearse these lines in her head, and she starts to send little signals to Mary. She starts to, like, pop her head into the room. She's kind of, "Hey, do you see what I'm doing and what you're doing, how those two things are different, and how you need to be doing what I'm doing?" She starts to maybe do what she's doing, but do it loudly. So she's not saying anything, but Mary's hearing it. Like, wow, Martha's really loud in the kitchen. I'm sure she's fine. I'll just keep listening to Jesus. Maybe these things have happened in your house. I don't know. Maybe not. She's popped little looks into the room that communicate about 1,000 different words, or maybe a few really clear, loud words. But when she speaks, she shows up her heart, and she helps us see ours too. Because the first thing she says is she goes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, do you not care?" She looks at Jesus and she asks him, "Do you not care?" The disciples ask a question like this when they were on a boat with Jesus and a storm begins to take over the sea that they're on. It's just massive waves, massive storm. They feel like they're about to die, and Jesus is asleep. And they say to him, "Lord, do you not care that we're about to die?" When you and I get distracted, meaning overwhelmed by all these responsibilities we have in front of us, or overwhelmed by the circumstances around us, or distracted by the service that we have in front of us, we can begin to notice that, because we will start to doubt and question the Lord's care for us. We begin to start to doubt and question his presence with us, or what he's doing in our lives. And what will happen is, in my life and in your life, is your busyness becomes bigger than your God. That your faith will begin to swing and your trust will begin to swing with how, quote unquote, successful your event went, or how successful your ministry is going, or how successful that class or that lesson felt like it went, or how successful the all you've been pouring into your work or your family, what evidence you're seeing back from that. And so if it feels like, "I only really trust the Lord and honor him when things are going really well and I feel like my work is doing something," that's a sign that I and you are getting distracted. We begin to move away from focusing on the Lord of the work to the work of the Lord. But then she also says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." When you and I get distracted in this way, we get frustrated with others for not doing what we're doing. Maybe you've been there. I've been there. You get frustrated with others for not doing what you're doing. You get resentful and you get impatient with people who don't seem to have the same commitment as you. Or they're not serving the same way you're serving. Or they're not serving the same amount you're serving. And when we start to notice these things internally, we're no longer serving the Lord, we're serving the service. We're serving ourselves. And so we have these two sisters. We see Martha's distraction, but this is not just a difference in personalities for them. This is not just, well, Mary's more contemplative and quiet, Martha's more of a doer. There could be some of that, but there's more of a heart thing than a personality thing. They have a difference in priorities in this moment right here. And the way Jesus responds to Martha is going to point you and I in the direction of the right priorities, healthy priorities, point us in the direction of how you and I move from distraction to devotion. So that's the second word I want us to see is devotion. In response to Martha's frustration, Jesus does not blow up. He does not say, Martha, you just need to relax. You just need to calm down. Have you ever seen someone calm down after being told to calm down? I've never personally seen that. I've only seen it have the opposite effect on people. But here's how Jesus responds, verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. When Jesus says a name twice, it cues us to the fact that he's not lashing out in anger. He's not doing some kind of self-righteous sermon for her in this moment, but he is warning her and helping her in the gentlest way possible. He is burdened for Martha's divided heart, her distracted heart, and he gives her and us this loving word of caution right here. He tells Martha she's anxious. He tells Martha, your attention is divided by many things. You are distracted by many things. You're being pulled apart by many things. But then he tells her, verse 42, but one thing is necessary. He doesn't just tell her, here's where you're wrong. Here's where you're priorities are out of whack. Here's where you're out of place. He also redirects her to what is right and good. He says, Martha, you're anxious about many things, but one thing is necessary. This is the difference between distraction and devotion. Many things, one thing. Many things, one thing. And then he elaborates on that. At the end of verse 42, he says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The one thing is the good portion. One thing, good portion, both meaning the same thing. Jesus doesn't say Mary chose the good portion, Martha chose the bad portion. But he says Mary has chosen the good portion. You could also read that as the better portion, the best portion. And what Martha was doing was good, but what Mary has chosen is better, it's higher. Because Martha was consumed with everything that had to get done, but Mary said, I'm just gonna leave some of the tasks and chores for later. Jesus is here. I wanna learn from him. Many times, my issue, your issue, is not that bad things distract us from good things. That's certainly possible. That happens in my heart and life every week, and I'm sure yours too. But many times our issue is actually good things distract us from the best thing. Good things distract us from the main thing. Because Jesus did not speak these words just for Martha and Mary's benefit in that one time at that one meal in their house in that day. He spoke these words for the benefit of every disciple of Jesus for all over the world, for all of time that would read these words. And so when he spoke these words, he had me in mind, he had you in mind. These words are meant to call us, to encourage us to live with a single focus in life, a main focus in life, to live with both eyes on Jesus, to live with wholehearted devotion to Jesus. I like the way that Oswald Chambers explains it, and he says it this way in this nice punchy sentence. He says, Christianity is not devotion to a work or to a cause or a doctrine, but devotion to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not sure what your definition or understanding of Christianity is. Maybe you've come to church for the first time in a while, or you've been had various experiences, good and bad, in the past, and you may think, well, all Christianity is just having a cause or just being busy with church work or religious work. It's not that. You actually don't have to know anything about Jesus to do that. Christianity is devotion to Jesus, the person, the real King and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, there's all kinds of work and causes and actions that come from that, but they don't come first. He does. Jesus told Martha that she was caught up with so many things that she missed the main thing, devotion to Jesus. And like so many of us at times, Martha lost sight of the truth that all of our service to the Lord, all of our service for the Lord, flows out of our relationship with the Lord. We don't serve to work our way to the Lord or to stay in good standing with Him. We serve because He's come to us through the life and death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus. And so now we have this joyful privilege of not just serving Him, but knowing Him. Spending our days with Him, knowing, just like we sang, that day after day Jesus reigns, and day after day our shepherd guides us and His hand is on our lives. One thing is necessary, the good portion that Mary chose. What is that good portion? Well, you jump back up and see the specifics of it in verse 39. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. But why did she sit at the Lord's feet? Luke tells us to listen to His teaching. She was listening to His teaching. She was learning from Him. This is the one thing that is necessary. This is the good portion. To sit at the feet of Jesus is the posture of a disciple of Jesus. And obviously, you and I are not in this room physically sitting at the feet of Jesus, but it's a posture of our hearts. That devotion to Jesus is you and I regularly sitting at His feet, meaning we are in His presence, learning from His word, ready to submit our lives to whatever it says and whatever He tells us to do. But I just want you to think with me for a minute just about that phrase, because it's what hit me this week really hard. One thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Not many things are necessary. One thing is necessary. And not one thing is optional, but one thing is necessary. You can hear this kind of language in other places in the Bible. I'll just read a couple of them to you. Psalm 27, verse 4. The psalmist says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And you heard it in Psalm 16 that's been highlighted this morning. Verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The Lord is my chosen portion. I have all these things that I could pick from. I pick the Lord. He's my chosen portion. And then the rest of Psalm 16, even verse 11 that you'll hear at the end, it shows us why Jesus says Mary's chosen the good portion that can't be taken away. Well, why can't it be taken away? Well, hear the end of Psalm 16. He says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if the one thing that is necessary, if the good portion is time with Jesus in His presence, no one can ever take me from His presence. No one can ever take me out of relationship with Him. The Father says, all I have are in my hand and no one can snatch them out of my hand. God's word tells us later in Romans chapter 8 that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of Christ. For every follower of Jesus, the aim is devotion, and distraction is the enemy of devotion. The way you and I resist distraction and pursue devotion is remembering, and man, I have to preach this to myself every day. We have to preach this to ourselves and to each other every day. Remembering one thing is necessary. And to be shaped by that. That's hard though, right? Because as soon as you and I wake up tomorrow morning, or before you go to bed tonight, your mind is already thinking about everything that you have to get done tomorrow. But what if you and I began to see each day under the heading of, no matter what's in front of me today, only one thing is actually necessary today? You're thinking, well, great little world for you to live in because you work at a church. So have fun with that. I got to go to work. I got to go to school. I got stuff to do. Still, it is so easy for me, just to be fully transparent here, just to jump into doing work, even though it's at a church, and not take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. That is so easy. I could do that very easily. And I could write a sermon and put it together. It would start to show up in my life, but it would take a little bit. It's very easy for all of us, no matter what our vocation or calling or wherever the Lord has us. And we can all say one thing is necessary today. So we have to evaluate together. Do I actually believe that? Do you and I actually believe that? Is it reflected in how I use my time? One thing is necessary. Or do I have a different one thing that I've put in that sentence? Does my daily schedule, does my weekly schedule show that one thing is necessary? None of us are overloaded with too much time with God. I've never been like, man, I just kind of had enough. I don't really need any more. No, usually I get at the end of the day feeling drained because it's like, man, I needed to depend on the Lord more today. I needed to seek his presence more today. None of us have had too much time listening to or learning from his word. We will never exhaust all the benefits and blessings we can draw from his word. But what does Mary say about Jesus here? Here at the very end of verse 42, Mary has chosen the good portion. That's an important word to focus in on. Mary's chosen the good portion. Martha and Mary both had a choice that day. They made different choices. Mary chose the good portion, Jesus says. And I'm not saying this is the whole picture, but it's certainly part of it, that the Lord does a work in our life that you and I cannot do on our own. That we cannot make ourselves more like Jesus. We cannot convict ourselves of sin and turn our lives more to following Jesus. But there's also stuff that he's called us to do that he does not do for us. The Lord cannot read the Bible for you. He cannot go to church for you. But without him, those things are meaningless and empty. But the key here is she chose it. And this is the key to you and I living lives of devotion to Jesus. The flesh and the world and the devil and so many other bad things, but also good things work to distract us. But you and I must, on a daily basis, choose the good portion. It does not happen on accident. It does not happen automatically. You and I have to choose to pursue devotion to Jesus. So I just want to just give you an opportunity to consider this. Just think about your schedule with me. And some of you are really good at this, and I look up to you, and I want to become more like you in this area and in this way. But just think about your schedule. Where could it fit in your life to say this is the time that one thing is necessary? And time with the Lord and sitting at his feet is not just like a 10-minute block in the morning. It's a posture we want to have throughout the day, but it's also something we do have to carve out time in our days for. Might mean getting up a little earlier. It might mean changing your schedule in some way, but we got to have a plan for what that looks like. And if there's all kinds of incredible resources out there that can help you with this. So if you're saying, yeah, I want to do this, but I don't even know where to start. Do I just start in Genesis 1 and then read? Do I have to go to work? And then I know it can be kind of overwhelming, and I would love to, if that's you, love to talk with you about things that we can give you, things that I find helpful for me, different things you can read, listen to, all kinds of different resources that are out there. But then once you think through your schedule, you have this plan, you kind of find a way to kind of work through this, you gotta guard it relentlessly. Every day in my life is a day that I can very easily make an excuse not to do it, not to spend time with the Lord, not to try to walk with him throughout the day, not to try to like just spend some time in prayer, driving from one meeting to the next or between meetings. And then just to think about the overall pace of your life. If you and I say yes to everything, we can't really live out that one thing is necessary. And I struggle to say no to things. I struggle to say no to people. I struggle to say no to requests and opportunities because a lot of times they're all really good. But in some situations, one of the most godly things you and I can do is say no. In some situations, other situations, one of the most godly things you can do is say yes. But if you're like me, your issue might be saying no. Because you got to guard and you got to make that time and you can't commit to everything. You can't be running 1,000 miles an hour. And my last encouragement to you would just be keep going back to sit at his feet even when you don't feel like it. If I only did it when I didn't feel like it, when I felt like it, it wouldn't happen very often. There's just not a lot of days where I'm like, all right, waking up fully refreshed and excited about everything in front of me that day, just ready to be like, all right, I'm doing this. Sitting down with the Lord for like 3 hours. I got up at 4 a.m. No, that's not real life. That's not real life. But keep going even when you don't feel like it and fight to keep it about him. Not just your plan, not just checking off the boxes or reading the thing so you kind of check that off in your head for the day, but fight to keep it about time with him in his presence, not your plan. Devotion to Jesus is a daily decision. It's a weekly decision, but every time we do it, we're choosing the good portion. As we wrap up here, I don't want to be unrealistic about what a 10 would look like on that scale I gave you at the beginning that I asked you to rate yourself on for us to rate ourselves. A 10 is not someone who has no responsibility in life and can pretty much make their own schedule and has all the time they want in the world to just read the Bible and pray and walk through the woods and listen to music. And actually, I think a 10 and a rating is probably not even the most helpful way to think about it. So if that's not helpful, just erase that from your head. But a 10, a person who is truly devoted to Jesus, it's not perfection, but it is, hey, I have a lot of things to do today for my family, for my job, for school, for whatever it may be. But as I go throughout this day, I am asking the Lord to give me a calm and attentive heart in the midst of all that busyness. Christians should be very productive people, but not frantic, but not chaotic. But people who are focused on Christ, both eyes on him, knowing he's the one thing necessary. And all these other things are done in that light. He is the good portion. He is the one thing necessary. Shall we strive to live each day with that in mind? Let's pray together.